This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. And this is the last episode of 2020.
Yes. It's our last throwback. We did our last new one on Tuesday. And we're jumping into 2021 because this is our New Year's Eve episode with a movie that supposedly takes place in 2021. So it felt very kismet.
Yes. And interestingly enough, Jenna texted me about said film that we're about to review. And I was like, oh, let's do this one. And she gave me the reason. And I totally forget the year that this film takes place. I'm like, yes, this is a perfect movie to kick off the new year of 2021 in a film that takes place in air quotes future of 2021. And that movie right now that we're about to review is Johnny Mnemonic.
Yes. So the description of this movie is a data carrier. Courier, literally carrying a data package inside his head, must deliver it before he dies from the burden or is killed by the Yakuza.
Yes. Yeah, the Yakuza, they were mean people back in the day. Before we kind of get into this particular Keanu Reeves film.
This came out in 1995, also the same year that Hackers came out, another virtual movie.
Futuristic I wouldn't say cyber, but I guess you would call it kind of cyberpunkish hacking movie, with the great Angelina Jolie. So that was that. Now this movie came out May 26, 1995. Now, I guess this will be around Memorial Day weekend? Okay. Now, if I'm not mistaken, around this time, Die Hard with a Vengeance came out May of 95 also. So, you had Bruce Willis trying to disarm bombs, and you had Keanu Reeves sending gigabytes of information across the interwebs. Now, May, what we had as far as TV shows, 95, Usual Suspects, of course. I'm going from 5 to 1, Monday Night Football, Caroline in the City. Is that the Brooke Shields one?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's one of those shows that's too white for both of us.
Oh, well, the rest of the three just all down the line. Friends, number 3. Seinfeld, number 2. Well, not so much number 1, because that was pretty diverse. It's a pretty diverse hospital. ER is number 1. And the song of May. I mean, the party anthem of 95. This is how we do it. Montel Jordan, 95. Oh, yeah, you put that on. Everybody's on the dance floor. And that was, May 95. And then Johnny came on the scene the weekend. Did you see this in theaters?
I don't believe I saw it in theaters, but I do remember, when it first came out, I think it was probably on TV within a year or so, trying to watch it on TV and thinking that it was, too dark. Every scene's filmed at night, so every scene is sort of dark and gritty. And I do remember, there is a lot of the scenes take place in this virtual world. Same thing with Hackers. There's this virtual world, and it felt a little pokey to me, and so I couldn't really get into it. And the reason why beyond this being taking place in 2021, I thought it would be a nice like movie for us to do, is that there's in the opening scene, it's sort of similar to Star Wars. It really describes what's happening during this time in the world. And it's basically like the society is deeply engaged in a virtual world, which is causing a virus or a disease in many people called nerve attenuation syndrome, or NAS. Corporations are now ruling the world, and the people enforcing everything are the Yakuza, which is an organized crime family.
Yeah.
So it here in 2020, it hit me to be very like appropriate in that VR is definitely a big thing. There's a virus going around that's sort of taking over the world. Uh-huh. Corporations have more power than ever, with multiple billionaires out there. And it just, like, so many elements, I was like, yep, okay.
Yep.
I mean, the Yakuza is the only thing that doesn't feel real in this movie.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. Yeah, but yeah, the world situation is definitely 2020 and 2021. Yeah, and it's funny, is a scene where Johnny's character goes, like, kind of gets out of a cab, goes to a place where it's like a protest outside of a pharmaceutical building, and everyone have N95 masks on.
Yes.
I'm like, wow. Whoa, talk about Nostradamus. Like, everybody outside protesting with N95 masks on. Like, okay.
Right. And protesting a pharmaceutical company. I feel like in 2021, that's probably something that we could potentially see. People starting to think that either the vaccine is not being distributed fast enough, or it's too expensive, or that it's infecting people with something like a tracker. And so people start protesting pharmaceutical companies, except the people protesting may not be wearing masks. But yeah.
All right. And the company, the corporation in this film in question is called Pharmacon or Pharmacom, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So Johnny, in his noggin, can hold 80 gigs of memory, which...
Well, but he gets upgraded.
To like 100 or something like that?
To 160.
Right. Yep. But
he starts out with 80, and then he gets upgraded to 160.
Mm-hmm.
And so Johnny's character is a... I can't say the word. Mnemonic courier.
Yep.
Which is basically, there are these people that have a data device installed into their head so that they can carry information from one source to the next without it having to go through the virtual reality world.
Yeah, where it can be hacked or stolen.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so he wants, in order to get the device, though, they have to remove part of your memory. And he had his childhood removed. And he wants his memories back, and he wants to stop doing this. And so he gets one last job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always that one last job. Yes. So this last job requires information that's beyond his storage capacity, but he want the money and want to get out of it so bad, he's willing to risk brain shutdown, so to speak, because he's overloaded on information. Now the secret information that's in his head is 300 gigs, right? And he can only store 160.
It's 320.
320, right.
And so what happens is, after like anywhere from 2 to 3 days, the data starts to deteriorate and break down and cause psychological damage and death to Johnny if the data is not removed.
Right. Yeah. So so now he needs to try to get to some underground secret people that can get this stuff out of his head before he dies. At the same time, he have Yakuza coming after him for this information in his head. He have, I call him Ivan Draco Jesus, a.k.a. Dolph Lundgren.
Right. Let's take a break and just look at the cast of this movie.
Yes.
So Johnny's played by Keanu Reeves. Mm-hmm. Awesome. There's a, like, the gang leader for the underground.
Yeah, the resistance.
J-Bone. Yeah, the resistance is played by Ice-T.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the head of the Pharmacon company is run by Takeshi Kitano.
Mm-hmm.
The Yakuza is run by Dennis Akiyama.
Mm-hmm.
You have the street preacher, who's like an assassin for hire, is played by Dolph Lundgren, who doesn't look like himself at all in the movie.
Yeah. So Ivan Draco Jesus.
Then we have Spider, who's played by the amazing Henry Rollins.
It's so hilarious. They put these like nerdy glasses on him. Like, oh yeah, so he's scientific.
He's like the doctor scientist person.
We totally buy that, dude. Like, yeah, just put some nerdy glasses on him, and yeah, he could totally pull off like brain breakdowns and everything. But he's awesome. It's always good seeing him in movies. Like, he always bring the fun factor up whenever he's in a movie.
He does. So Johnny, he's in, I think it's Tokyo, where he gets the data, and then he has to go to Newark to give it to the recipients, the resistance, in order for them to help spread the cure for the virus.
Right, because Johnny finds out that he have the cure in his head for the NOS epidemic that's going on. What was her name? The bodyguard. I forgot her name.
The bodyguard, her name's Jane in the movie, is played by Dina Meyer.
Yeah, she's not in enough movies. Last movie I remember her in was Starship Troopers. And yes. I loved her. Her and Denise Richards, I'm like, yes.
There's a TV show called All American, and she's been in that for the past couple of years.
Oh, good. Glad she's getting work. She was awesome. So we had her in there helping out Johnny for a fee. It's a transactional journey. So she's like, hey, you know, I help you get the stuff out here. You give me what she wanted, $50,000.
Yeah.
So, but throughout this perilous journey of near death, they come together, you know.
Because writers always have to throw in a stupid romance to any action movie. Of course, there's going to be romance between Jane and Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're like only together for 24 hours, but all of a sudden they're like falling for each other. I guess I've gone on dates where I've totally had the hots, like lots of sexual tension with someone, but I don't know if I've no love, just sexual tension. Maybe if I looked at this from a sexual tension perspective and not a love perspective, I'd feel better about it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, hey, you know, I guess if you've gone through a lot of near-death experience with a person that you kind of had sexual tension with in the first place, then yeah, that probably would have amplified a lot of stuff.
Thank you for helping me solve my biases towards romance in here.
I mean, yeah, if you had the NOS, you know, virus and Keanu Reeves could help you, and you already kind of had like some like, hey, you know what? I hit that. And on top of that, he was like, hey, you don't have the disease anymore. Hey. And it's Keanu, so come on.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. So this movie was a short film. It was based off a short story by William Gibson, a Canadian writer. Yes, yeah, so the short story first appeared in 1981. Yeah, so I was based off of a short story.
Yeah, so basically, like, once Johnny gets to Newark, lots of people chase him around. There's lots of fighting going on. The final scene with him and T-Bone, or J-Bone, Ice-T, yeah. J-Bone. It's between J-Bone and Johnny and a dolphin. Which I think when I first saw this back in the 90s, that entire scene just, I was like, what the fuck? That dolphin in this little thing, and the dolphin's supposed to download all, like, what?
Yeah.
I think I still felt like that when I watched it this month. but for some reason, it worked a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I think I listened a little more to the exposition of why the dolphin was there. Then I was right. Like, okay, well, I guess that makes a little sense. Like, okay, I'll go with that. Proceed. In J-Bone's lair, the resistance lair that held the dolphin to help Johnny get all this information extracted from his head. We get the Yakuza invading, and we have Ivan Draco Jesus coming through, try to kill them all. So it's like third act, everything comes to a head. At the same time, Johnny is trying to get all the stuff out of his head before he dies and fighting these other people off at the same time. So that's kind of like the
Yakuza are like constantly showing up and after him, and like the big baddie Yakuza guy has this watch thing that like a string pulls out from his watch, and it's like a laser, so he can decapitate Johnny and just take the head and the data.
Yeah, because they just need the head. I mean, and then everything kind of comes to a head then, and as your normal mid-90s cyberpunk internet movie, you know, things kind of work itself out. Now, what I want to say with Keanu Reeves, now, this was his follow-up after Speed. Now,
he did Speed in 94.
Yep. So Speed kind of like threw him on the map, like, oh, Keanu Reeves. So he didn't want to, I guess he wasn't ready to jump right back into action, wanted to try something a little different. And so, you know, they gave him the Johnny Mnemonic script, and it's like, you know what, this looks different. This looks, you know, unique. This look, you know, well, let's give it a shot. And like, plagued by, of course, as Hollywood goes, production issues, rewrites, you know, directors and studio heads not, you know, seeing eye to eye on things, you know, cuts of budget, things like that. So pretty much the end result is what we got. It's not Keanu Reeves' fault. It was just like they had to deliver a movie, but it wasn't the movie based off the budget and original vision that was initially promised. You know,
right? Yeah, because interviews with the writer of the short story who did the first draft of the screenplay has come out in interviews and said that this is not my work, this is not what it was supposed to be, so that makes sense.
Yeah, so I mean, so yeah, it was a movie of its time. It was a movie, you know, they delivered the movie. And it's interesting, and I'm so glad Keanu Reeves did not let the experience of Johnny Mnemonic like totally scrap his ability to want to jump back in to this realm again. Because if this, you know, if this experience tarnished him so much, he would have flat out said no to the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he gave the Matrix a shot. Like, I got burned with Johnny. But I trust you, Wachowskis. Let's give this a shot. And I'm glad he did.
Yeah, so there's a couple things in this movie that, like, watching it in 2021 is this sort of nice or funny. The VR headset. So he uses two different VR headsets. He uses one that's like it looks like a shiny metallic visor. Mm-hmm. He uses another one that looks like the exact same VR headsets we use today, which was very fortuitous. And then he also uses an iPhone. it's spelled EYE phone. Mm-hmm. It's the Thomas iPhone, not the Apple iPhone. So,
yeah. Uh-huh. You're ahead of his time in this movie. Yeah, they were definitely calling a lot of technologies that we enjoy today. This is December. So the December review for our last one, chilling. Well,
we can do a New Year's Eve rating. Sit on the sofa and drink your champagne tonight. Put on your shoes or put on your pajamas and go to bed instead of watching anything.
Nice.
Or just give up.
Just give up. However way you define giving up, just do it. Let's see. Well, you go first.
I would drink champagne and watch this movie. It's enjoyable. It's weird. I think you definitely have to listen to the dialogue. It's not just something that you can put on in the background, because there is sort of the exposition, like you mentioned, with the dolphin. And there's definitely a few different scenes, like Henry Rollins talks about the underground and what they're trying to do and trying to cure people. So there's definitely all these little scenes in it where you need to pay attention. And all those scenes put together make it enjoyable, but also at the same time, sort of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to review it in the lens of when it, like, oh, it's a movie of its time. It's a 90s movie. And when you watch it, it's 90s to the T.
Right. Which, so when I was watching it, I was like, this feels so much like Hackers with the visuals that they were using anytime you went into the VR world. Mm-hmm. And so I went to go find out when Hackers came out. And of course, they came out the same year. So in Hackers, you have a lot of scenes where they're like hacking into the computer and they go into the virtual world. Mm-hmm. And the virtual world that they show in Hackers and in this movie are very similar.
Yeah, totally. And then, you can even go back a few years to The Lawnmower Man, you know, like the whole VR situation.
I think that came out in what,
87, 88? No,
let me see,
92.
Oh, 92, okay.
Yeah, that was right before Pierce Brosnan became Bond. I'm gonna give it and put my pajamas on. Reason why I'm saying this is because I give it props for like what it was like doing as far as the story. It was weird. It was bizarre. It had some charm in that, but it just felt so like a updated Canon film, something like Canon Pictures would have made back in the '80s with the sets and all that stuff. Which I love Canon movies. I love these Canon films, but it just had that very kind of B movie, low rent Canon film aesthetic to it.
I think that's why I enjoyed it. And also like the casting in it, having Henry Rollins as the doctor coming in and talking about the disease and everything, and then having Ice-T come in and talk about the resistance and the preacher. I mean, just all these random actors in there where you're like, oh my God.
Okay, all right, I changed my mind. Based off of just what you just said, I changed my mind to sit down, Sherman, but I have to give a caveat. You have to know what you're getting into. Like, it's disclaimer. Like, don't come into this Keanu Reeves expecting a Point Break or a Matrix or a Speed. Like, don't do it. Just come in, get sloshed, and enjoy this crazy B movie.
Yes. It is a fun, mindless, what the fuck am I watching? I need to do a shot.
Yes. So with that, I give it a sit down champagne. Yeah. So there you have it. The New Year's Eve review of Johnny Mnemonic.
Yep. And you can find it on Amazon Prime right now if you have it.
Yes. Yeah, guys. So, I mean, we made it, you know, we got through it, guys. You know, we got through the blood, sweat, and tears. We're putting 2020 in our back, you know, our rearview mirror, and looking ahead to 2021 in a little bit.
in minutes. Yeah. Minutes.
Yeah, so we will see everyone on the flip side, and I would like to take, you know, a hot second to thank my awesome podcast partner, Genoa, for keeping me sane through this crazy year, for like, just like, hey, you know, let's record, let's do it, you know, and still give you guys some awesome movie reviews and like keeping my head above water, keeping me talk about movies instead of all the craziness of 2020 that we experienced. And I thank her so much for that. And I look forward to having Jill again and doing more awesome movie reviews for you guys for 2021.
Yes. Even though I'm not traveling and we're not rating these things based on travel, we hope that we're giving you movies to find while you're stuck at home like us. And Yusuf, thank you for keeping me sane and watching movies I probably wouldn't watch. And just my normal mode of operating is just watching whatever the next film is that Hulu or Netflix suggest, which has taken me down some dark roads this past year. But you keep bringing me back, so thank you. And then in January, we're going to start 2020 off with movies that are sort of weird and out there, because we're in a world where things are sort of weird and out there right now.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to tackle this weirdness head on, guys. We're going to do it. Next year.
Next week.
Next week. We'll wish everyone safe physical distancing in.
Wear a mask.
Yes. Happy New Year.